17. And once you find it, if you'll stand with me in honor of God's holy word, Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. Mark 10, 17, and I typically preach from the New Revised Standard Version, but this morning this will be from the New International Version. Mark 10, 17, the Lord tells us, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up, we have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and the age to come, eternal life. But many who are the first will be last, and the last first. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to hide it in our hearts so that we may not sin against thee, Lord, that we may be sanctified by it, that we may be set apart for you and live holy lives down here below. Whatever may come upon our lives, Lord, help us to be holy unto you, set apart unto you. Help us to take this word every day and it to get inside us, Lord, and us to get in it, in our minds to renew our minds, in our hearts to make us new every day, and in our very souls and spirits to guide us. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost to show us the way. Give me the words I should preach this morning. Give us all ears to listen to what the Spirit saith unto us, your church. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated. Amen. We come here to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and God's holy word. And verse 17 again, as we just read, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Praise God. When Jesus was starting to get up and go on his way, this man came and ran to him and fell on his knees before him, fell down there before the Lord. He recognized, this ain't just some man. This is Jesus Christ. We ought to get down on our knees before the Lord every day, seeking him, seeking his ways. For his ways are higher than our ways, the Bible tells us. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He sees all things more glorious than we could ever imagine. We ought to get on our knees before the Lord and seek his face, seek his ways. Then there's a difference. If we want our prayers answered, we get down, confess our sins to the Lord, get close to him. James tells us the effectual prayer, or some translation, the fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. It avails much. It bears much fruit. If we want our prayers answered for the Lord, that we need to get sin out of our lives and live holy lives before him. Lord, help us to do that, to be sanctified. He says here, that man ran to him and fell on his knees before him. He said, good teacher. He wasn't just a teacher, he says here. He's a good teacher. He is the good teacher. He's the good shepherd. The shepherd, good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he did that for us on the cross of Calvary, and he rose again on the third day. He's a good teacher right now, and he sends the comforter, the Holy Ghost, to show us the way. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Notice here, he had something missing in his life. He was missing something. Verse 18, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. 19, you know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Verse 20, teacher, he declared, all these I've kept since I was a boy. But yet, all these he'd kept since he's a boy, he said, he admitted. But yet, back up there in verse 17, good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was still missing something. He was trying to earn his way to heaven. He was trying to be good enough for God. It'll never happen. Never happen for me, for you, for anybody. He did all these good works. He had a wonderful outer cloak appearance, but inside he was missing something. He's missing the peace of God. The Bible tells us, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Teacher, he declared, verse 20, all these I've kept since I was a boy, but yet he was missing something. He was missing eternal life. We can have all the outward appearances. We can have the religiosity that we want. We can do all these things for the Lord, but they're filthy rags without Jesus Christ's blood. They're filthy rags without the Holy Spirit to guide us. Teacher, all these I've kept since I was a boy, but yet he was found lacking. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was still seeking peace. Have you got peace today? Have you got the peace of God? Because we're saved. We're not saved by doing good works. We're not saved by water baptism. We're not saved by having enough money. We're not saved by Holy Communion. We're not saved by confirmation. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. Then all these other wonderful things, like communion and baptism and confirmation, then they can fall forth as fruits of God's life, living in us in the Holy Ghost. But to be saved, what must we do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, I've kept all these things, all the Ten Commandments. You know the commandments? He knew them. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Over there from Exodus 20, as we're familiar in the Ten Commandments. Verse 21, though, after he said that he kept all these since he's a boy, but yet lacking something. 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him, it said. Glory to God, Jesus looked upon that man with love. Just as he loves me, he loves you. He knows he has more of a reason to hate us, doesn't he? Jesus could look at me and say, I sure do hate you, but he doesn't. He could look at us all. He knows everything about us. He knows the worst about us. We can look at each other and we don't know the worst thing about one another. We can look in the jail dockets and see somebody, and so often God's people look at them and judge them and think horribly of those people. But you don't even know the worst about them. We don't know the worst about us, but God does. God sees all things. He knows all things. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro, seeing, beholding the good and the evil. He knows the good and the evil in the child of God's life. He knows the good and the evil in your past. But what did he do when Jesus was nailed on the cross, when we give our faith to him, it's washed away by the blood. By the blood, it's washed away, and he will remember our sins no more. Go to him. Go to him in faith. Jesus looked at him and loved him just as he loved Moses. He loves me. He loves you. He loves us all just the same. He died for us all just the same. Every person ever born, God gives grace to come to him if you answer the call. Not by might, nor by strength, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. He says, Jesus looked to him and loved him. He loved him. One thing you lack, he could see in his life. He looked at that man. No doubt he's looking straight in his heart. Looked at him and loved him. We as children of God, as we're witnessing, this is the message that we have. The gospel, what's the word gospel mean? It's good news. It's not bad news. The bad news is that everybody without Jesus is going to eternal hell. But the good news is, through Jesus Christ, through faith in him, no one has to be there. We can all be saved if we'll put our faith in him. He's given you the choice and the decision. Jesus looked to him. He loved him. We as children of God have this wonderful message. Jesus tells us to preach repentance for the remission of sins, to teach it, to show it, in our lives. We got to do that as God's children, as his faithful children, by holy living, by trusting him, and by loving him. Why do we avoid sin? We avoid it because it's what God hates, because God tells us so. God just doesn't arbitrarily pick what's good and evil. He picks what's good and evil. He says what is good. He says what is evil in the Word of God for a reason. He knows what it is. It's not random. He knows what sin is. The wages of sin is what the Bible tells us. It is death, hell, and the grave. But Jesus conquered those on the cross and rising again. Jesus looked to him and loved him. We need to love one another. The Bible tells us, my little children, love one another. It's a ancient writing. in a tradition about the Apostle John. When he's an old man, he could barely walk. They carry him into the church meetings. And the only things he could muster up from his words, "My little children, love one another," as he's recorded so often in the epistles of John. That's what we need to be, loving one another. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets, Jesus tells us. Jesus looked at him, and he loved him. We all ought to be looking at each other with love, not hatred, not variance, not wickedness, nor prejudice, nor evil, nor hatred, but love. Jesus looked at him, loved him. Let's love one another, brothers and sisters, as Christ loved us, as gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. He looked at him and loved him. He said, "One thing you lack." He said, "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." He said, "One thing you lack." You sure did a good job keeping thou shalt not murder and not commit adultery and not steal. He's done a fine job at that. But one thing you lack. He still stood guilty. We can do all the good works we want, but we still stand guilty before the law of God in need of a Savior. He said, "Go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there's your heart is." That's what the Bible tells us. Where are we building up our treasures today as God's children? Are we building up in heaven where moth doesn't corrupt and rust doesn't corrupt and rusted away? The wonderful place called heaven in the New Jerusalem. We're laying up for ourselves, heaping stuff up here down on earth, where it's all going to be burned up someday. The rocks themselves will be destroyed. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. It's his holiness, his righteousness, his truth. And all these things will be added unto you. Glory to God. That's what the word tells us. Let's heed it. Hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against God. He looked to him and loved him and told him what he lacked. God loved him enough to tell him what he needed to do. God loves us enough to tell us that we're sinners in need of a Savior. Every one of us, every day, need to seek the Lord and his ways. His ways are higher than our ways. Seek the ways of God, the way of grace and mercy and forgiveness, lest we fall into judgment. And he says here, "Go, sell everything you have. Give it to the poor." It didn't matter. Give it away. Jesus could tell that that man's stuff that he'd surround himself with was closer to his heart than anything. He was being choked down with stuff. It reminds me of Solomon, if you read in the Old Testament. That man had more money, more wealth, more wives, more horses, more anything than anybody in recorded history, from what we understand. He had all this stuff heaped upon him. What did he lack? He lacked fellowship with God. He'd forsook God's fellowship and God's wisdom that he gave him for all the stuff of the world, for all the gusto of the world. The devil offered Jesus all the very same thing. He offered him the kingdoms of the earth. That's not the devil's to give. That's God's to give. Jesus already owned it. The devil will offer you everything in the world, make it look all sweet, like a bunch of chocolate-covered cherries or whatnot. Oh, it looks wonderful, but it's not. The devil will lie to you. You can't trust him. Trust God's word. What did he tell that young man, that rich young ruler? He said, "Go, sell everything you have, and give it to the poor." Give it away. Get it out of your heart. We got to get stuff out of our heart and give it to God. Get things out of our way. What's between you and heaven? It may be something different. It may be something different in the list of God's commandments. It may not be wealth that's standing between you and fellowship with Heavenly Father. I don't know what it is. That's between you and the Lord. Reflect on it. Is there something between you and the Lord? Is there something that's choking you from serving him? He said, "Go, sell everything. Get it out of you." Jesus said, "If your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better to go with one eye than to go in the kingdom of heaven with one eye than to go to hell with your whole body. If it's your hands offending you, cut them off," he says. "If it's your feet, cut them off." He don't think go get you a machete and have at it. Spiritually speaking, is there something in your life you need hacked off? Get out of it. Get right with the Lord. He says, "Go, sell everything you have. Give to the poor. And then you will have treasure in heaven." Only then. Then come, follow me. Get rid of out of your life. Then come, follow me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He's here right now. Then come, follow me. Follow the Lord. Seek him. Go to him. Don't turn away. You can't get yourself cleaned up to come to him, but come to him and he will clean you up by the Holy Ghost. He says here in verse 22, the sad verse in the word. He says, "At this, the man's face fell." Where's another translation? His countenance fell. Think about that. He's just all sad. "At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth." He was looking at the way, the truth, and the life. He's looking at the most glorious thing ever. But yet he was sad. So he had to give up the stuff that was closest to his heart. He had to give up his idols. There's a lot of idols in this world to this very day. It may be wealth in your life. It may be something else. Have you got an idol in your heart? It's keeping you from following the Lord as you should. It's keeping you away from fellowship with Heavenly Father. The man's face fell. He could have been set free that day. He could have been set free from the bondage that he was under. But he wasn't. He didn't want it. He didn't want it enough. God gives us all grace. If you want God, go to Him. Seek Him. The doors to heaven are wide open. He went away sad, it says, because he had great wealth. Verse 23, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" How hard is it? It was hard, he says. Hard thing. They got too much stuff in the way, this man. 24, the disciples were amazed at his words. Back then, the Jewish people taught, if you were rich in worldly gain, that meant God loved you a lot. And if you were poor, that meant you were a sinner. Just like if you were blind from birth. They asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, to cause his blindness? Jesus said, neither one. His blindness was so that God's kingdom and God's glory could be shown forth. It don't work that way. The first will be last, and the last will be first. You can have all the wonderful things of the world. What are they? They're dust. They're worthless. It's vanity. Vanity, vanity, saith the preacher. Always vanity. That's what Solomon said when he lived his life. Turned away from the Lord's ways and lived for the ways of the world. When it came down to it, he got right back with the Lord. What did he say? He said, all these things are vanity. The whole sum of man, he said, was fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God. Love the Lord your God. See your God and love him and show forth how you live your life. The disciples were amazed at his words. He's telling them the truth as to the man-made lie. This world will tell you, the devil will tell you, but success in the world means a lot more than success in God's kingdom. God sees the heart. The widow that put forth the tiny mite, the tiniest little, not even a penny, worth a penny, put it in the temple treasure. She gave more than, because she gave not of her abundance, but of all she had. And the rich people that just give little table scraps to the Lord. They may have more table scraps than other people, but they gave table scraps to God instead of giving them their best. They were given nothing to the Lord in his kingdom. Better is little with righteousness than great wealth with sin. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, he says here, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Where's your riches? Are they in heaven, or are you heaping up on earth? Is it something keeping you from following the Lord? Whether it may be, get rid of it. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, aren't you glad he calls us children? Aren't you glad we're children of God by the blood of Jesus? He said, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? Remember, he said, this is a straight and narrow way, and few will find it. But wide and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, the Bible tells us. Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? God's not going to change what it takes to be a part of the kingdom of God because of lack of number. He's not going to change the requirement of holiness for God's kingdom because there ain't nobody following. There wasn't very many people on the ark. The majority of people on earth died in the flood that day. God's standard was set. The doors of the ark were wide open. They could have walked right in there. Any person could have came. There's room enough on the ark, Noah's ark. But how many came? Only Noah and his family and his sons' wives. How hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? But yet it could be easy, couldn't it? What makes it hard? We do. We get things in the way. We, instead of seeking the ways of God, it's a free gift. It can't be earned. It can't be bought. There's nothing you could do to earn it. It's a gift of God, the gift of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. He wants to give you the kingdom of God. We got to get out of the way. My cup can't overflow with the Holy Ghost if it's too full of the filth of the world. How hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? We make it a lot harder than it really is, don't we? We need to get ourselves out of the way. Get out of the pilot seat. We see license plates sometimes that say, God is my co-pilot. Oh, Lord, help us. I hope not. Your plane's going to crash. God needs to be in the driver's seat. He needs to be driving our lives and showing us the way. How hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord, help us. It's easier for a camel, that big old camel, he ain't going through the eye of a needle. It's not going to happen. That's why we have to let it go. Let go of our ways. Let go of the things of the earth. The tabernacle where God resided in the Old Testament was a tent. Ready to go at a moment's notice. They'd take that thing down, put it up, wherever they needed to go. It was a tent going to and fro. We need to be ready to leave this world. We need to be living as a tent instead of building ourselves a solid brick dwelling place down here below. We need to be built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, not on the sifting sands of this world. We need to be ready to depart at moment's notice. Too many of God's children are too ingrained in the ways of the world. They got too much Egypt land, too much ways of the world still in their heart. We need to be ready to serve the Lord, whatever it may be, just we read in that prayer. We prayed together that covenant prayer. Whatever God's will for us, let it be so. Come what may, we're going to serve the Lord. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, that he was going to serve the Lord. He was all the way in Babylon. He was going to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. We read in the Psalms, these wonderful prayers. Let's serve the Lord. He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. We may not have much down here below, but we may have wonderful riches in heaven by laying up our treasures. Because Jesus said, where is your treasure? That's where your heart's going to be. What is your life focused on? Is it focused on Jesus and his word and the gospel? Or is it focused on anything else, good or bad, down here below? You know, there's a lot of good people that went to hell when they died. Why is that? Because they were good according to the world's standard, but not according to God's. Because according to God's standard, all are guilty. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All deserve hell. But Jesus died on the cross to give unto us the gift of eternal life. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but the free gift by grace through faith. You know, it's not good people that go to heaven. It's not bad people. It's forgiven. It's redeemed people. The world standard, it changes every day. We'll go back 200 years. Standard was way different than now. Go back to 2,000 years. Standard was way different than it is now. The sifting sands of the world, you can't base it on that. It's what God says. What thus saith the Lord. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says here in verse 26, the disciples were even more amazed at this and said to each other, who then can be saved? We stand so far away from the Lord, so far, far away from him on our own. God came down from heaven. Sent Jesus, his son, came willingly to walk this world. Jesus walked the highways and the byways. He walked around us. He lived among us. He died for us and rose again. He's with us to this very day. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. We can be saved with Jesus. He can do miracles with Jesus. Let's remember, we're going to go... I've shared these passages before, but we're gonna read it again. In the end of this wonderful gospel, the Gospel of Mark, in verse 14, he says, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith. They didn't believe him, and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. They were stubborn, faithless. We need to be willing and faithful. He said, Lord, help us. He said, 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, because God came to redeem all of creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, and a possibility on our own. But with God, all things are possible. There's wicked spirits ruling all around us, going everywhere, to and fro. Oh, it's a sad state of affairs in the United States so many times. I saw last week, I believe it was, a pastor got up there that was a member of the House of Representatives and prayed to a false god in the Capitol building. He prayed to a Hindu god. God help us. You know what these false gods are? They're actually demons. They're actually these principalities of evil. It's a sad thing that man was ordained in the Christian church. God help us. In my name, they will drive out demons. We need to be fighting them, not joining them. We need to be living for the Lord and holiness and seeking him, not joining up forces with the devil. God help us. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. The promises of Scripture, we believe. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into the heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. He confirmed his word. Is he confirming his word in your life? Lord, help me. Is he confirming his word? How does he confirm his word? With holiness. What are these? They're the fruits of the Spirit. If God's in your life, if you're seeking him, there's impossible things going to be made possible in your life. What's the most impossible thing on earth? For someone that's wretched, that's every one of us. For someone that's sinful, that's every one of us. To become holy and righteous, set apart for God, that's impossible, except with God. But not with God, it says. All things are possible with God. You can live for God. You can purpose in your heart to not defile yourself. You can receive grace and forgiveness. Seek him, where he may be found. Verse 28, this is glorious. He says here, then Peter spoke up. We have left everything to follow you. Praise God. We have left everything to follow you. That's what ought to be our attitude. We'll leave it all to follow you, Lord. Whatever it may be, what comes in this life, we're going to follow you. Peter spoke up. We have left everything. Left it all. Set it behind him to follow you. Unless you do that, Jesus says, you're not worthy of me. Unless you're going to take up your cross daily, you're not worthy of me, Jesus said. If you're not willing to leave it all behind, you're not worthy. Too many of God's children are not living worthy lives. We're not living holy lives. We're not walking worthy of the calling for which we have received from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. We're not walking worthy so often as God's children, but we need to be. Have you left everything to follow him? Is there some sin seed in your life, in your heart, that's keeping you from fellowship with God? Lay it aside. That fellow right there, what did he do? He had too much stuff in his heart in the way. He wouldn't give it up. He wouldn't seek the Lord. He refused. He stubbornly refused. We as God's children, you can be going on for a long time. If you let a root of bitterness and stubbornness in your heart, you're falling away, falling back to perdition. Don't fall away. Stay with the Lord. He warns us. Don't make shipwreck of your salvation, but let God pilot the boat. All things are possible with God. Verse 28, then Peter spoke up. We have left everything to follow you. If you're going to leave everything to follow him, it's going to make a difference in our lives. It's going to make a difference. Too much in the way in the child of God's life. Too many distractions down here below. We have such a luxury in this great nation. To go out here, we can hand somebody a Bible on the street, and the government, the secret police ain't going to show up and put us in jail. We have such luxury in this world that we live in down here in the United States. Let's not pass that up. Over there in China, they will read. I've read stories from missionaries. It's illegal to have a Bible in many places there. So they'll hand them Bibles, and they'll take the Bibles away. The government will. They'll write the scriptures down on paper. They'll take the papers away from them in prisons. They'll memorize it. Children of God over there, get it in their head, memorized. You can take away it printed, but you can't take it out of their heart and mind. Brothers and sisters, we have such a luxury. The Bible tells us to whom much is given, much is required. God has given so much to us Christians in the United States, and he's going to require a lot more from us than those in the persecuted places. Well, look at the blessings. If we left it behind, leave everything behind to follow him, look at the blessings. Truly, I tell you, this is verily, verily in King James, truly I tell you in this one, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel. Notice here, left brothers or sisters or mother or father or children, left their family for the gospel or fields, left their workplace for the gospel. Don't compromise the word of God. For me and the gospel, for Jesus personally and the gospel, will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Notice here, God's going to bless you for following him in this present age. I'm not saying he's going to give you $1 million and a new Cadillac. He's going to bless you with spiritual blessings down here below. If you've left all it behind, if you give it to God and say, whatever it is, I'm going to follow you. Whatever I get here below, it don't matter because I'm with you. He says here, you won't fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, this age here below, he's saying. Homes, God will provide you a home. Brothers, sisters, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions. He gives us these wonderful things. But notice here what he adds in there on the end, along with persecutions. So many of God's children are persecuted. We'll see that soon in this nation, most likely. Along with persecutions. Are you ready? Are you going to seek the Lord? Right now, right here below. Don't wait. He says, notice here, in the age to come, eternal life. Life eternal in Jesus Christ. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You seek the Lord. Give it to him. Left everything. No one who left home left it all. You'll receive eternal life. Age to come, eternal life. What a wonderful thing we can receive. What a foolish thing it would be for somebody to trade eternity with God, our Heavenly Father. We read about it last week in Revelation. What a glorious place that's going to be. How foolish would it be to take that and throw it away because we want a little more shiny coins and pennies down here below. A little more toys to play with for a temporary time instead of following the Lord, instead of seeking Him. So notice here His admonition for us all in verse 31. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Many who are first will be last, and the last first. It's as we read in the rich man Lazarus in the Gospel of Luke. That poor old man Lazarus, he didn't have a dime. He's in the poorhouse. He didn't have nothing. He barely even that. He would eat crumbs from the rich man's table. The rich man, it said, fared sumptuously. He had everything he ever wanted down here below. He'd throw away. He'd waste more. You know what the rich people did in Jesus' time? These people that they professed Christ with their lips, but their heart was far from him. They didn't use napkins back then. They would use bread. You'd have a thin slice of bread, and they would take their hands and dip it in the water and wipe their hands with the bread and throw it away. And yet there's people all around them starving. That's what it says so often. People would eat bread from their table. That was the bread they'd throw away that they wiped their hands with. That's what Lazarus ate. But when both of them died, Lazarus went to be with the Lord in Abraham's bosom, as they say, with the Father's house. The rich man went to the place called hell. He asked Lazarus, he said, Abraham, could you send Lazarus to dip his fingers in water and drip it on my tongue because it's so thirsty, it's so hot down here. Could you do that for me? He said, no, you can't travel from thence to here, from here to there. There's a great gulf fixed, he said. He said, at least send Lazarus back to go warn my brothers that they don't have to enter this torment. He said, no, rich man. Abraham said, no. They have Moses and the prophets. He said, well, if this man came from the dead and told them, they would surely believe. He said, no. Jesus said in that parable, if they did not believe Moses and the prophets, if they don't believe the word of God, even if a man came back from the dead, they would not believe. We saw that happen when Jesus rose from the dead. These same calloused people who refused to follow the Lord, even though Jesus rose from the dead, it was no secret. It wasn't done in this dead of night. The Bible tells us that the graves opened up in the graveyard, and those people came out glorifying God. And yet, these people were still hardened towards the Lord. That's a sad, sad thing. A sad state of affairs. Don't let your heart be hard. Jesus warned us, don't let your conscience be seared like a hot iron. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Let's all bow our heads. I want to ask you, what will you exchange for your soul? The Bible says, what would you give for your soul? One of the old Puritans once said, oh, how foolish it is for a drop of pleasure to have to drink a sea of wrath. Brothers and sisters, that's not what God wants for you. That's not what God wants at all for you. That's why He sent Jesus to die on the cross. That where He is, we may be also. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not true, I've told you so. God's not going to lie to you. God has sent Jesus to create a way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the good shepherd. He's the Lord God Almighty. He's our Savior. He made a way for us to go to heaven. Don't waste that opportunity. For the rich man, it was too late. When Lazarus was in the presence of God Almighty, he was in the absence of God Almighty in hell. He had the Word of God to show him over and over we have the Word of God today to show us over and over. So take a moment and ask yourself, where are you going? Who are you seeking? Is there something holding you back from following the Lord? Is there something that's too close to your heart? As that man, he wanted to come. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was seeking it. He knew he needed it. But when the time came to choose between it and the world, he chose the wrong choice. He chose the world. The choice is ours every day. Talk to the Lord and take a moment and make sure that you are right with him through faith. He loves you. He's not willing that you should perish, but should come to him. Take a moment and speak with Father God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your redemption. We thank you, Lord, that you promised you'd never leave us nor forsake us, Lord, that you would not leave us comfortless. We thank you, Lord, that all could come to you. If there's someone here this morning, Lord, that don't know you truly in their heart as Savior, if there's one of your children here this morning, it's allowing the world to get in the way. It's allowing the world and the flesh and the wickedness to push them away from you, Lord. It's allowed sin to govern their lives and to rule in their mortal bodies, Lord. Help them to come to you. Help us to live as free people. Live in the freedom that you give us through Jesus' blood on the shed on the cross of Calvary, Lord. We thank you. And help us to live in freedom of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and to walk in the Spirit that we may not fulfill the lust of the flesh, Father. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people. Bless us to follow you truly and wholly, set apart lives, and to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, Father. Keep us in thy will, whatever it may take. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. As the Bible tells us, what great love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let's all stand. And Josh is going to come and extinguish the candles and take the light into the world symbolically. And let's take the light with the Holy Ghost in our hearts. Amen. Let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. You too. Good to see you, Jane. Yes, he is.
Have a good week, honey.
You too, Herb. I appreciate it.